And we're back on WWGH Radio Getaway Friday, Black Friday, November 27th, 2020, 19 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio all day today, right up through 1 o'clock, by Mike Wilson, who we now know on Monday will have former... See, now I was saying Hee-Haw Honey, Misty Rowe, but now apparently people have not even seen Hee-Haw, but they know she was in Playboy. So I'm just going to say... A participant in Playboy magazine, Misty Rowe, Monday from 5:10 to 6 p.m. I can get your mic on. Go ahead now.
I didn't realize she was in Playboy.
I find that hard to believe.
No, I didn't. Because I didn't really watch Hee-Haw.
You weren't a Hee-Haw fan?
No, I wasn't.
If you don't know this voice, which Mike didn't earlier on, Jeff Ruth is in studio with us now. Can you imagine Mike didn't know your voice? He's worked with you. That's what your whole career was voice, and Mike had no idea.
I board opped his games.
Didn't recognize the voice. Oh, by the way, you got a game tonight. Can people listen?
Well, at this point, we have a game.
I don't, right now.
Going to be down at Pleasant tonight for Pleasant Cardington, and then tomorrow night, going to be over at River Valley.
Oh, River Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we know anything about the teams this year? Do they look good? Do we know anything?
No, really, we don't.
We don't.
We don't.
So it's just going to be a game.
Well, some people might, but I don't.
You didn't do that big research.
No, I haven't done any research yet.
Now, what time do the games start?
About 7:30.
And they are on?
14:90.
14:90.
Yep. JVs are at 6 and the varsity usually about 7:30.
Well, this will be good. So that's tonight and tomorrow, 7 p.m.
7:30.
You don't come on with a big pre-show at 7
no.
and give your knowledge of all
no,
the teams?
No, there's no 15-minute pre-game show for high school basketball.
Now, do you do these games alone?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there we go. So tune in, when you're not listening to us tonight from 8 to 10, but you can listen tomorrow at 7:30.
Do you need somebody to run the board?
No, we have somebody to do that.
That's good to hear, because that's getting rough now. And
Now, the other person that does the games at night, actually inquired about this. He has his own, it's called like a jet pack, which I don't know, I think, but he can actually do the game on site where he can control the commercials and so forth.
Oh, okay, okay.
Paul, they didn't give you a jet pack?
Paul said there wasn't any point because they knew I couldn't figure the thing out.
You're still carrying the big pole with the antenna on it, aren't you?
We got a new system about 2 years ago.
Oh, really? Yeah. No more big pole?
Oh, no. Uh-uh. It's very, very compact.
Oh, good. Now, do you run it through like a phone line or is it internet-based?
Yeah, one of the two.
We don't really know at this point. It'll be on. Well, we think the games will be on tonight.
Oh, it used to take me 15, 20 minutes to pull... You know, you had that big mast, and then you had the base, which weighed like 40 pounds, and then you had the antenna, and then you had the coax cord, which you had to hook up to them. Oh, it was...
It must have been about 2 years ago, and I hadn't seen you for a while at the football games. In the year we did them, you know, we just were doing it through the internet, so we're all sitting in there with a laptop and pretty much it. And here you come with this big concrete pole and antenna, and you're trying to string the cord through the window. And I thought, this is like a rock. This is like, you know, the square wheel, the peg. But you used that for a long time.
We did that for many, many years, yeah.
Because you had to aim it back to mm-hmm. the station antenna, yep. and they had to pick you up, and yep. that's how it was all transmitted.
Yep.
That's very interesting. Now, did we get through it? Mike, Monday, we'll have Misty Rowe, Hee-Haw Honey, and Playboy participant.
For lack of a better word, yes.
Right. That'll be on Monday from 5:10 to 6 p.m. And then on December 7th, you'll have a Pearl Harbor show, which is Pearl Harbor, with Fred Malone and a World War II veteran who is in his late 90s.
And I wish I knew his name. Fred, if you're listening, let us know who that is.
So that's Monday, December 7th, 5:10 to 6 p.m. So that's the next 2 weeks of the Mike Wilson Show. Now, today kicks off a big thing here in Marion, Jeff, that you wanted to come in and talk about.
Well, not necessarily today kicking it off or whatever, but did want to talk a little bit about the Clearinghouse.
The Clearinghouse.
And the Peanut Push.
Yes.
And, in fact, I got a call Wednesday night. This is the first year I've really helped out with the food. And they package up about 375 boxes that will be distributed to families. And... Diane Morgan, who kind of heads up the food, has been doing this for years. Diane's been the peanut p- pushed Queen a couple of years, called me Wednesday night and said, I need 60 jars of peanut butter. Would you be able to pick it up and bring it down Friday morning? So I got up and took down. So I went to the store yesterday morning and got 60 jars of peanut butter and took it down so they can pack today. But, yeah, it's a real assembly line. There are so many schools. And, you know, we really thought this year that it would be down. And I think at least as far as the food items, if anything, it's actually up. I know Tri-Rivers on Tuesday, I think it was, dropped off 1,800 food items.
Wow.
And normally Tri-Rivers, they might do a couple hundred or something, but they did 1,800 this year. And we're seeing a lot of the schools really increase their giving this year just because there's such a need out there.
Well, for people who don't know, how does this all work if you need help?
Well, it's basically too late now.
sorry about your luck.
But they do about 5 days, and they advertise it through all the schools and so forth, where you sign up, and the Salvation Army has a similar way of signing up, and there's several different organizations, but the Clearinghouse is the biggest, and they help about 400 families. Family could be two people, could be 10 people, but you come in, you have to, you know, bring in obviously your proof of identity and so forth. You have to have like the birth certificates for the children that you're claiming. And you might have, say, an 8-year-old boy, a 6-year-old girl, and a 4-year-old girl. And then you put down what, you know, they would like and so forth in the way of toys and so forth. And then Clearinghouse, and again, they get a lot of the money through the peanut push and, you know, different monetary donations. And then depending on what the final need is, they will go out, they'll get gift certificates to either Myers or Walmart. For each family, and then, you know, a new toy or a couple of new toys, hats, scarves, mittens, books from the library, and so forth. But this year, it's obviously going to be a lot different. And normally, there's one day, it's on a Saturday, in about 2 weeks. And in the past, it would have a group in the morning and a group in the afternoon. And you would start between, say, 8 and noon and then 1 to 5. And people would come out. They were either the morning, might have been like A through M was morning and N through Z was afternoons. I forget how it was broken down. But you would show up then in that morning time frame, and then you would have a volunteer from the Clearinghouse or someone that would walk you through the building. It's the old Waddell Village. It's been down there for years. Generally, you do it, of course, without the kids. It's a mother, grandmother, whatever comes in, and they already have the card made out that this is what they need, and this is the age group for the family. And then you'll have somebody take them through, and you might spend 15, 20 minutes with one family saying, especially if they have maybe 4 or 5 kids, and there's so many toys to choose from. It's like, I think you'll like that. No, let's do this or whatever. And it's always been very well organized. The people are so grateful to get, you know, any help. And especially for the ones that have never been through it before, I think they're really surprised at how much they do get.
Now, is that able to happen this year?
And I was going to say, and this year, they're only going to be able, and it's a work in progress. Jody Reif, who's been heading this up for many years, Jody still doesn't know what's going to happen. But at this point, they're going to be able to do one family at a time instead of having maybe 7 or 8 families in that building, maybe one family in one room, another family in another room, another family in another room. They're going to do one family, and everything is just always, it's basically going to be, you're going to be handed the items. This year, you know, instead of, you know, do I want a G.I. Joe or do I want a monster truck? You're going to get one or the other. You're not going to get a choice this year. They're going to keep everything pretty much in just one area. You'll have a volunteer that will go through with that particular person, be it, you know, a mother or father, maybe mother and father together. They'll get the food. They'll leave. Once they leave, another family comes in. So they're looking at having it maybe be a 3 or 4 day, event, with only being able to do one. You know, when you're talking, say, 375 families, you could do maybe 180 in the morning on Saturday, 180 in the afternoon. We can't do that now. Mm-hmm. So you might do somebody, say, at 8 in the morning, you know, 8:10, 8:20, 8:30, 8:40, 8:50, 9 o'clock. Do that all through the day, say, on Friday. Come back Saturday, do the same thing. Come back Sunday, depending on where they're at. You might have to come back on Monday. Again, it's we just don't know at this point.
Now, sign-ups for this are over.
Yes, they've been over for a few weeks.
But the peanut push, do we know anything about that? Because that's not happened.
We're looking at doing something next Saturday. It's always the first Saturday in December. We did get permission from the health department and the mayor. But again, between now and next Saturday, we don't know what's going to happen. I think there will be somebody downtown. Whether there's actually going to be anybody pushing a peanut at this point, we don't know. There might be 3 people. There might be 5. Certainly, it can, you know, kind of spread them apart. But, you know, the days when we'd have, you know, 50 people downtown and you'd have, you know, 300 people there cheering your friends on and so forth, that's not going to happen this year.
And we don't know. Do we know if it'll be broadcast? Don't know.
At this point, we're planning to do something. We might even do it at the station. We might even have, I was talking with Paul James a week or so ago, we might even do, say, something at the station next Saturday, maybe do a drive-through if you want to come out to the radio station, depending on the weather, say between 10 and noon, and if you want to come out, drop off donations, drop off food items. You know, maybe do something like that in the back parking lot.
So the idea of actually pushing the peanut, though, that's a little shaky this year.
It really is.
Yeah. Because I think at this point, people, because that was always predicated on nominating people, and obviously that hasn't happened because of the pandemic situation. Interesting. Interesting year.
We obviously did not want to let the peanut push go. You know, because once you lose it for a year, it's tough to bring it back. So even if we just do a very small peanut push, I know Daniel Bradshaw is running from Pillar Credit Union. I've been in there a couple of times the last couple of weeks, and he has t-shirts that he's selling, and they have candy bars for $1, whatever. So I know he's running for King. Diane Morgan, who's doing a lot with collecting the food, she's running for Queen. I don't know if we'll have a prince and a princess this year. We may only have 3 or 4 people. But again, we didn't want to let it just go by the wayside.
Well, it's interesting. And hopefully it will turn out somewhat well.
And again, any little amount that we get will still help. And that's the important thing. If we can just raise a little bit of money for families, I mean, that's what it's all about.
And this has been going on for quite some time now.
Actually, Diane Morgan said it was 1950. Hmm. And, of course, that's with the Clearinghouse. So the Clearinghouse, this is the 70th year of the Clearinghouse. The peanut push obviously didn't come into existence until, you know, the 70s. There actually has been a clearinghouse now. This is the 70th year that there's been a Christmas clearinghouse.
You know, it's interesting. I never thought about this, but it's weird how this zero year, obviously ruined a lot by COVID, was the anniversary of so many things in Marion, because obviously Harding was the big one that really got tarnished quite a bit. The 100th anniversary of his election, but December 23rd will be the 80th anniversary of broadcasting in Marion, starting December 23rd, 1940.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that this has all kind of been brushed away because of this pandemic we're in. Did you ever think we'd be here almost in December?
No.
Even when this started back in March, when they were canceling the NCAA and all that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I guess the election didn't end it, like so many people felt that it would. Now, Mike, you obviously were at MRN for many years. This was always a big event.
Oh, it was a gigantic event, and it went for such a good cause. I did participate 1 year, and I think I put duct tape on my nose.
Probably, yeah.
Or something.
A lot of people will put duct tape on.
Or I come up with something to put on my nose.
We had 1 year, somebody actually had a spoon, and they like cut the spoon in half, so they had the you know, the tipped end of the spoon, and they just, and it's like, no, that's cheating a little.
There are
too
rules.
Much.
There are rules.
Not a lot, but yeah,
that's one.
That one was one.
No spoon on your nose.
Yeah, we couldn't allow the spoon.
No. You don't want to do that. No spoon on the nose. Now we were talking about Petticoat Junction, and were you a fan of this show?
I like Beverly Hillbillies and Green Acres more. Those were my favorite shows when they came on back in the mid-60s. I watched Petticoat Junction, but I didn't watch it as much as Beverly Hillbillies and Green Acres.
Well, this has been a conversation we've been having because clearly they still run Beverly Hillbillies.
I see Green Acres occasionally. I haven't seen Beverly Hillbillies in reruns in a long time.
It's on one of those channels, isn't it,
MeTV has both of them.
Okay.
Green Acres, 9:30 weeknights, and Beverly Hillbillies. I think they replaced Beverly Hillbillies with Gilligan's Island for now, though.
Okay.
But no Petticoat Junction.
No, but one of those stations has recently had Petticoat Junction on.
So why was Petticoat Junction, which is on at the same time as these other shows, but created by the same person, same writing staffs, same idea, why was it not the same? Same staying power, rural show just like the other two?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I don't know. I never thought about that.
Is it because B died midway through the show?
She smoked 5 packs of cigarettes a day.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Where did you get that fact from?
Well, I remember that from years ago because she died of lung cancer.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. And she had kind of a gravelly type voice. But yeah, I remember hearing that many years, maybe when she passed away, I remember that. But they said, yeah, she smoked 5 packs of cigarettes a day.
See, I think the premise was weak compared to the other two shows. Because you had Beverly Hillbillies, which is great. You take the hillbillies and you put them in the rich situation. Mm-hmm. And Green Acres was just the opposite. You take the rich people and you put them in the rural area. But what was... See, I'm still not sure what the premise was. Some old lady was trying to keep these girls in line.
She had the Shady Rest Hotel.
The Shady Rest Hotel.
But I don't think they hardly had any ever had any guests.
Well, they did occasionally. Yeah.
Did Eddie Albert ever come by with Ava Gabor?
They did.
Well, of course.
There's a picture of
them. They did try to kind of tie them in together.
Mm-hmm. They did.
And then Gunilla Hutton went on to do Hee Haw after she left the Petticoat Junction.
Okay, so she was on Petticoat Junction first.
Was that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's because apparently of all the Hee Haw honeys, that's the one we remember, Gunilla Hutton, the Swedish girl. Why was there a Swedish girl in Petticoat Junction?
I don't know. She didn't have a Swedish accent. She spoke English quite clearly, so I don't know.
I remember a couple of the girls. One girl's name was Linda K. Henning. Mm-hmm.
And her dad.
The daughter of Paul Henning, who created the show.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, I guess I didn't realize that.
We're learning new facts here, folks.
Okay, I didn't know. It makes sense, yeah. And she eventually got married in the show.
Yeah, she's the one, yes.
And then there was another, the sister. I think
Woodall was the last name, wasn't it?
I was thinking it was Lori Saunders.
That's
Sanders,
it, yes. But one of them was replaced at one point. So there have been
a few sisters, yeah.
On the Petticoat Junction.
Mm-hmm.
They were all sisters?
Yeah.
See, I don't think I've ever seen the show.
Yeah.
I've seen the, what was the opening scene?
They're like in the water tower.
Water tower,
and they throw like the towels or something
up over the edge.
So I remember that, but beyond that I don't remember much about the show at all. But I have seen Green Acres and Beverly Hillbillies. But yeah, I mean, you got Buddy Epson. Now, there's a star. He'd done a lot of things. And Eddie Albert, my goodness, he was a huge star at that time. But who were these people at the Petticoat Junction?
Well, Uncle Joe Buchanan had been in several Westerns and different shows. He was already known. He was a doctor on I watch it all the time. The Rifleman for a while, and he had been on other shows as well.
I'll tell you, some of those Westerns of that era stunk.
I liked The Rifleman.
I'm not saying the Rifleman stunk, but I'm saying, like, there were some that were not exactly Gunsmoke.
I wish I got that MeTV, because I like to watch The Rifleman.
Yeah.
Because, like, The Virginian. I never understood that show. And I interviewed that guy, James Drury. But I never really got what was that show about?
I can remember us watching it at home, but I do not really remember the show very well.
Gunsmoke and Bonanza.
Those were good ones.
But
obviously.
I don't really remember I didn't really watch The Virginian.
Yeah, I think those were the two. Okay. And I think they were the most watched were Bonanza and Gunsmoke. Yeah. But all the other ones were just, you know, I don't know that they were great pieces of cinematic material. I was watching a show the other day on the history of broadcasting that I thought was interesting. They said that the golden age of radio came at the end of network radio, and the golden age of television came at the beginning of television. And they were discussing why that was. Do you think that's true? Do you think the golden age of radio was at the end of network radio, and television was better at the beginning of television?
Well, as far as radio, I agree with that, because they had, you know, when it was new, it wasn't quite as, they weren't used to things, they were learning, and towards the end, lots of great shows that continued on to television, and of course, television, I don't know why they would say that about TV.
Well, I think they're probably talking about Milton Berle and Sid Caesar.
And a lot of your radio stars that came over from...
Jack Benny.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know that television did get better, because in the 60s in television, it was like everybody creating a show was, you know, doing something in the back room, or maybe had one too many drinks. But, I mean, you had like Bewitched and I Dream a Genie, mm-hmm, and Get Smart and
The Munsters
and Munsters and Batman.
Get Smart, I thought that was a very clever show. I really liked that show.
It was clever, but it seemed like all those shows from that era were escapism.
They weren't real at all.
What's wrong with escapism? I tune in TV a lot of times to escape from what's going on.
And I think Vietnam had a lot to do with that, what was going on, and the depressing news about, you know, and the riots and so on. You folks back in those days needed to escape from those things, I think.
Well, it's interesting, because I think most people regard the greatest television shows of all time, sitcom-wise, to be, I Love Lucy is always on the list. And that was not escapism. I mean, she was a goofy wife, but it was a home life. She had a baby and neighbors. That was not escapism. 50s weren't really escapism. And then a lot of people consider Seinfeld to be one of the greatest of all time. That was not escapism. That was very well written and smart. And I think a lot of people consider All in the Family, which was very realistic to what was going on at the time. But nothing in the 60s is ever mentioned as a great television series.
Lost in Space.
Lost in Space.
I heard you talking about
that
last time.
It's a classic, but I don't know if it's really, you know, really what you'd call a great television series. And in the 60s is also when you had these hillbilly shows come out, like Beverly Hillbillies and Green Acres and Petticoat Junction and Hee Haw and all that. I don't know what was going on in the 60s. You think it was an escapism from the war?
I think that was part of it.
Yeah, could have been, yeah.
I mean, you know, Mary Tyler Moore is the one also they always consider to be a great television series. But I don't know. The 60s seemed to be a weird time if you were watching television.
I would say so, from what I remember.
You get Barbara Eden on. She's still alive.
Yes, she is.
I think she's the only one from that era.
What? That's an idea. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Jeff, somebody called in and wanted to know what your obsession with Maureen McCormick is, who was Marcia on the Brady Bunch. Everybody knows about this, apparently. We can't hide it anymore. It's out of the closet.
Everybody had, like, their dream girl or whatever, and Marcia was mine.
But to this day?
No, I don't think about her.
I think she's on the AARP magazine now.
She might be. She and Susan Day.
Not Susan Day again.
Oh, yeah.
The Partridge Family.
Yeah.
But did you watch her on L.A. Law?
No.
No. So it was just her on Partridge?
No.
Okay.
Back 50 years ago. Well, that show would have been on, 50 years ago, mm-hmm. right? 70, early mm-hmm. 70s?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
But this doesn't go on.
No.
No. So it's just from that era.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But it sticks with you.
Well, if somebody mentions her name, it's like, oh, okay, yeah. But
who is mentioning Maureen McCormick to you in 2020?
Nobody.
Nobody. That name's not coming up.
No, you're right.
Not at all.
The Partridge Family actually came on in 1970 for 4 seasons.
Okay.
1970?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it missed that escapism. It would have fit right in the 60s. A family that goes around
singing on
a bus.
Which came first?
The chicken or the egg?
Yeah, Partridge Family or...
The Brady Bunch.
I think the Brady Bunch started in the
60s. I think the Brady Bunch was like 68 or 69. Google's great.
I was not a fan of Brady Bunch. I can't watch it to this day.
Still watch it.
No. I interviewed Ann B. Davis, and I found...
That was one of your highlights, wasn't it?
No. No, it was not. Ann B. Davis was not a nice woman.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. She was no emo dancer, that's for sure. She lived down in this commune in Texas, a religious commune. And she was just a... Now, if you listen to the interview, you would never know it, because she was fine in the interview. You know, she talked about being Schultzy on Bob Cummings and she was fine, but she was just... She didn't want to do the interview. And her thinking to me, I remember she called. It took a long time for her to get on the phone because apparently she had to get permission from the minister to talk on the phone. What a retirement for Ann B. Davis. So he finally lets her on the phone, and I said, well, can we do the interview? She said, no, we have to do it right now. And I said, well, I'm not at the studio right now. Can you give me like 10 minutes? So I run over, and I'm interviewing Ann B. Davis. And at the end, I said, well, you just say at the end, well, I hope you come back sometime. No. You know, she was not a pleasant woman. Mm. I don't know what that was all about.
Oh.
You think down on that religious commune, they would have lightened her up a little bit.
I remember you telling me about it.
Yeah, just not that. And maybe she was a nice woman in real life, but she just, I think she was all showbizzed out. She'd moved to this commune, and she just had no interest in that era of her life. The Brady Bunch. They're all dead now, the old people in that show, aren't they? The parents and Ann B. They're all gone.
Sam the Butcher might still be around. I don't think so.
No.
Sam's
went on to his reward.
I can't think of who played him right now. He used to play a lot of heavies in different
movies. He was like in Gomer Pyle.
He was in Gomer Pyle.
He was one of Sergeant Carter's buddies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he ran the mess hall.
Yeah.
He ran the mess hall, yes. They were, like, competing with each other all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading the other day, and I don't know if this is true or not, but Jim Nabors swung a different way, and it was... I mean, that's true, isn't it?
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. I mean, I don't think I'm talking out of school here. Jim Nabors is dead. I don't think I'm breaking ground here. But somebody told me that Gomer Pyle was canceled because people found out he swung a different way. I mean, I don't know if there's any truth to that or not.
I don't know.
All right. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this past weekend they had the Partridge Family 50 years. All weekend.
And it's 50 years ago it went on the air this past weekend.
Right.
Now, are you a fan of Partridge Family?
It's okay.
Yeah. What was your favorite show from that era?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, hey, I thank you for calling in, letting us know that.
Bye.
And again, the phone lines are open if you'd like to comment, 740-383-9944. But I didn't know that was that scandalous back in the 60s that Gomer Pyle, Jim Nabors, was...
Well, he went on from there to have his own variety show.
A lot of singing and dancing.
I don't know if it... Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I bet there was. No, but that's sad if that really was the case, that people found out that he was, you know... what's the proper term?
Don't look at me. I don't know.
No, but I mean, what do you say? I mean, he was... I don't even know what the proper... Gay. He was gay, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. So that was a big... But I guess when he was on Andy Griffith, they always kept that very hush-hush from the public. Because he would... I don't know. That's different, yeah. I thought. Was there anybody else from that era who was in the closet on television? Well, Robert Reed, the father on Brady Bunch, was gay.
And he hated that show.
Yeah, yeah.
He just absolutely... I don't know how many times he walked off that show and said, you know, I'm not coming back till you rewrite the script or something.
Well, one of the people I did interview who was involved in that show, who I did like, was Sherwood Schwartz. Mm. And I interviewed him.
You did?
Yes. Yes, I interviewed Sherwood Schwartz. And I remember we were going through his accolades at that time, and I got to Robert Reed's name. He would have just rather not been there, I think. But he said he had to have him removed. One time, and he told the guards at whatever studio they were working at to not come carry him out because he didn't want that in front of the kids, because I guess he was kind of a father figure to the kids.
Sure.
But he said he would have had him carried out by the police officers. He couldn't stand this guy, Robert Reed. Wonder what he just. I think he thought the show was bad.
Yeah, he was more of a theatrical, serious actor. What was the show he was on before?
Burke's Law? Was he on Burke's Law?
Don't think so. But he was on, like, a court show or whatever. And, you know, considered himself a very, you know, fine actor or whatever. And all of a sudden...
Oh, The Defenders.
Defenders, okay.
Alongside E.G. Marshall.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's playing second banana to a dog. That just didn't seem like that was cast very well from the get-go.
But he took the job.
He did, yeah.
Well, I mean, at some point, you just got to say, hey. Yeah. But a lot of people from that era were probably, don't consider that their best work. I don't think that, the Partridge Family Mother.
Florence Henderson.
No, that was Brady Bunch. Shirley Jones.
Yeah, Shirley Jones.
I don't think she probably considers that to be the highlight of her career, being the mother on the Partridge Family, but I guess you take what you take to get work.
Yeah.
Now, weren't the guys on Bewitched? They were also... One of them wasn't.
One of the...
The Darrens.
I think it was Dick Sargent, not Dick York. I can't remember.
It might have been Dick York.
Could have been. I don't really remember.
One of them was also gay at that time, but in the 60s, you could not talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting time when you think about it. Are you ready for the Christmas holiday?
No.
Have you ever been ready for the Christmas holiday?
Since Brian's been in Columbus and, you know, since I got divorced a long time ago, I'll go to Mansfield. Brian will come up probably Christmas Eve day or whatever. I think he gets Christmas Day off. We'll go to Mansfield, my mother's. And, Christmas was always a big holiday, but when my dad passed away last year, and it's just not quite the same thing. But we still look forward to Christmas.
A little different. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm good.
How was your holiday?
Was okay.
We
didn't really do anything, but it was okay.
Yeah, I hadn't talked to you for a while.
Yep.
So I thought I'd give you a quick buzz, and are you staying away from the virus?
What was that?
Are you staying away from this virus?
Oh, I'm trying to. Yep, I'm trying to.
Yeah, well, my doctor's got me locked down to make sure I don't get it. So, but I just want to give you a holler and say how you're doing, and I'll let you get back to your business.
Okay, hey, good talking to you, and tell the boys I said hi.
I will.
All right, thanks.
And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you have anything you'd like to talk about, and don't forget, high school basketball starts tonight, 7:30, 1490 WMRN, and tomorrow night.
Yep.
Now, the schedule's weird, isn't it? I mean, basketball doesn't always happen on Friday and Saturday, does it?
There's some games on Tuesday. Girls, a lot of times, will play on Thursday. Friday and Saturday are still the go-tos. But you have a 22-game schedule, so you'll have some teams that will maybe play a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, or something like that. So you might, you know, you could play three games a week.
Go ahead, caller.
I just wanted to say hi to Jeff. I haven't seen him out and about in a while. This is Mary.
I know. I, of course, would recognize that voice anywhere.
Well, I didn't know.
Yep, no.
I just wanted to say hey.
Yep, no, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do for the most part. I mean, I still go out, but I don't go out like I used to.
Yeah, well, I usually run into you at the grocery store, yep. And I haven't seen you there, so... I just wanted to say hi.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. I know you listen a lot, so thank you.
I love it when you're on the show.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. 740-383-9944.
And just if somebody does want to help out with the clearinghouse, we're still taking donations of food items. You could drop those off there at Waddell Village there. There's usually somebody there from, like, 11 in the morning till about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Any non-perishable food items, you can do that for the next couple of weeks. And if, you know, you want to make a cash donation, you know, they could just get in touch with, you know, contact Paul at WMRN, and he can give you all the details for that.
What do you think is going to happen this year with church services at the holiday time?
Well, I go to Epworth, and they... probably 2 months ago announced they always do that big Christmas Eve dinner at 3:30, 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve day, and they'll get 400 people or so, and they announced a good 6 weeks ago that, you know, they're not doing that this year. In fact, the church is helping out the clearinghouse, wherein in the past the money that they would raise would help out with the dinner. We're not doing the dinner this year, so they're hoping the clearinghouse. They normally do three services. They'll do like a 5 o'clock, a 7 o'clock, and then like a midnight service. And, you know, I think at this point they're probably up in the air. I don't know what they're gonna do.
Clearly we're in a mess.
Yeah.
And Mike, do you have any idea what the plan B will be this year for all these candlelight services? I think about Marianne Catholic and their midnight mass that always goes on. I don't think you could possibly have that many people in the church.
No, I don't know that there is a backup plan except possibly canceling or limiting the number of people that come in. You know, it's hard to tell.
I know, you know, some churches did like a drive-through service this summer. I don't know if you want to do that, you know, on December 24th if there's, you know, 6 inches of snow on the ground and it's 10 degrees. So, again, I just don't know.
Now, are most churches in service right now? I know they went back at one point. A lot of them did.
Epworth stopped going back. They had two services. They went to one. And then about a month ago, then they stopped again. Now, you can still do that. They do it like a Zoom service or whatever, which doesn't do me any good.
Yeah, you don't have the Zoom.
Right. But they are doing online services. But, yeah, as far as actually going back in person, they stopped that about a month ago.
It's very interesting how this is all shook out. You know, and I worry about people's mindset because it's getting difficult, especially for people who are working at home now. They have no contact with anybody. There was an article the other day about how, oddly enough of all things, that people aren't meeting each other. Office romances are not happening because people aren't in the office anymore.
That's true.
And after school is over, how do you meet people?
Good point.
A lot of depression.
Unless it happens to be Maureen McCormick, then somebody in this room would gladly meet.
Or Susan Day. What was it about Susan Day?
I just thought she was very cute.
Just a blonde...
Because, I mean, we were about the same, you know, we're the same age or whatever. I was 17 or 18. I just thought she was hot.
Now,
Well, that's good to know. To talk about Christmas clearinghouse and helping families in need. And we're talking about Susan Day.
I can't help those things that you talk about have gotten out in the world now. I didn't do that. Now, now, Mike, who did you have a crush on when you were younger?
That's a good question.
See, he thought it was a good question. You get defensive about the whole thing.
I don't know. I enjoyed watching the Hee-Haw ladies.
What's her name? Misty Rowe.
Misty Rowe. In this case, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know that I really had a crush.
At all?
No.
Well, it's interesting because the Hee-Haw honeys, as they were... we don't know how many there were. The show was on like 30 years.
Yeah.
That show had a run.
And Misty Rowe, who I'll be talking to Monday from 5:10 till 6, was on for 19 years.
Well, that's a long run.
Yes.
And then the following week, you'll have the Pearl Harbor show.
Yes, we will.
With Fred Malone and a World War II veteran.
Yes.
What's your memories of Pearl Harbor, Jeff? I know you were there selling Lays
at the time. I remember my mother and my dad... And, of course, they didn't know each other at the time, but they both were in church that...
Yeah, it would have been Sunday morning.
That Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And I remember my dad telling my mother that, you know, the world will never, you know, the world will never be the same. Mm-hmm. And shortly after that, he enlisted. He was still in high school when he enlisted in war.
You know, we talked about this earlier. The term was from Roosevelt, that the day that'll live in infamy.
Yeah.
But really, has it, when we're here in 2020, do these days like September 11th and Pearl Harbor and D-Day, do they really, do people care at this point, now that that generation has for the most part left us?
I hope that they still do.
I would bet if you would survey people, if you could survey everybody in the United States about D-Day, I bet about 25% know what it even means.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
It's very sad.
Why do we not know our history? Because one of the most fascinating things I ever heard was when the Cold War was going on, and I don't know if it's still this way, but the Russians always knew more about us than we knew about them, that they were interested in our culture. They were interested in our writers. They were interested in our television and all that. And Americans knew the Cold War was going on, and they maybe knew the buzzword of communism. But as far as knowing what Russians watched or did...
I think it's sad that we're not teaching in the schools about history. And, you know, I just don't think we're teaching that anymore.
Part of that's the Common Core. The Common Core, that's not one of their emphasis is history.
But shouldn't we just know? I mean, anytime we talk about immigration in this country, we always say, well, go take the test. Well, the test is supposed to be American history. And what well, how many of us could pass the test who are citizens here? You know, I think I don't think we need to be taught this in school. I think we should know. We should go out of our way to know certain things. Don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
Well, coming up Monday, we still got one more hour here this morning.
Yes, we do.
Coming up Monday, we got the Hee-Haw Honey, who is also in Playboy, which apparently is the topper, at 5:10 to 6 p.m. Monday on the Mike Wilson Show, and we've got the big Pearl Harbor Show coming up in 2 weeks on December 7th. And Jeff, the Christmas Clearinghouse is off and running, and if you want information on what possibly might be, could be the Peanut Push, if you want to donate, you probably call WMRN.
Just get in touch with Paul James at WMRN. Yeah.
And the basketball season starts tonight, and we're coming back in about 10 minutes with our final hour this morning. Stay tuned.
Marion's reigning queen of dance of 75 years, Martha Douse.
Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Merry Christmas to everybody in this universe, Scott Spears. And I want to say happy Merry Christmas 12/25/2017, 18/19/20, and forever and ever.
And how do you spell Christmas, Martha?
K K-I-S-S-M-A. Kissmas. K-I-S-S-M-A-S.
Thank you, Martha. You have
That's what Joe Manasi told me.
Well, Martha, you have a wonderful holiday season and a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Programs on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are brought to you by Williams Grass Cutters. Telephone number 740-272-0062. Website williamsgrasscutters.com. Facebook page at Williams Grass Cutters. Email w.grasscutters@gmail.com.
Listen, you're listening to WGH.